Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Well, yes, we have some exciting members of the live studio audience, including the world famous Avram Yehoshua Herman. Yes, he's holding down the fort over here. Our new grandson, who is super cute and super delicious. He is currently sleeping. He missed the live studio audience, but his presence is certainly felt, as well as our amazing son-in-law, Ezra. Okay, so we are excited for quite a Monday Motivation for you today, and we had absolutely an incredible bar mitzvah weekend. I would say an entire week, just like certain celebrations extend on. We had quite a celebration. So if you recall last week, on Sunday, we had just won the championship, my son Suki's team. We were super excited about that. And then we went on into the week. It only got better and better each celebration. Tuesday, something called a Bo Bayom, which means on that very day, on Monday night, Tuesday, was Suki's birthday. And we had the class, the entire class, which is two classes, the entire grade together, for a very simple celebration. I have to tell you something. If anyone would like to see the best of what it means to live a Torah life, I wish you could see these 38 boys who came to celebrate my son's bar mitzvah day. They were the most pure, the most happy, joyous, kind, thoughtful, bright-eyed, positive, excited, idealistic 12-year-olds you will ever, ever see. It was what we call a Kiddush Hashem. It was sanctified God's name. I look out and I say, where else will you have 38 12-year-olds behaving, not just not destroying things, not just wild party day, but elevated behavior, kind. I have to tell you what happened. Imagine 38 12-year-olds rushing over to you, shaking your hand, smiling, and saying, Mazel Tov. It might sound like a small thing, but they just kept coming. It was like little bumblebees of positivity overwhelming me. And it wasn't just that they said Mazel Tov to the bar mitzvah bachur, my son Tzviki. It was, they said it to both the bar mitzvah and to me as well. And they did it with kavana, which means incredible intention, with the intent to bring joy to the people who are celebrating. I have to tell you, if anyone wants a model of how to behave, you can look at these 12-year-old sixth grade boys. It was incredibly impressive. And if anyone out there wants to know what it's like to raise children with Torah values, this was the best example of it. Truly, truly spectacular. And I can't even mention what other 12-year-olds are watching, are doing, are spending their time with. These boys are boys who grow up without TV, without movies, but totally plugged in to morality and values and the ideas that I need to grow and to become better and to improve my character. And they don't have the Popeye syndrome, what I like to call, I am what I am, that's all what I am. Oh, I'm an angry person, I'll just stay an angry person. I'm a selfish person, I'm just going to stay that way. It's too hard to change, right? If Brutus gets me upset, I'm just going to pop a can of spinach and beat the living daylights out of him. No, that's not a Jewish approach. The Popeye syndrome is the ultimate laziness, is that I'm given a certain natural characteristics and tendencies, and I'm just going to stay right there. No, we're about growth. We're about taking the natural mitos, character traits, talents, and weaknesses that we have and improving them. That's upon which we are judged. And if you want to see the perfect example of what it means to have that attitude inculcated from a young age, look no further than the Boba Yom that was this past Tuesday. And I just had to share that because it was a real celebration of living Torah values. You can't make this up, folks. These 12-year-old kids were dynamite. Absolutely spectacular. And I'll give a shout-out to their school, the Weitz and Rocheder Yeshiva Or Baruch, here in West Rogers Park. They're a testament to the school, testament to our religion, testament to our Creator. All right, so that was Tuesday. Blown away. We would have been happy just with that. And then Shabbos came, and Tzviki, thank God, after many, many months of practice, did a beautiful laning of the Maftir, which is the last section of the Torah portion that is read, and the entire Haftorah. He did, well, what could I say? I'm proud, Dad. I could share. He did a great job. A superlative job. Excellent. And people said that they could actually hear the speech and understand it. We worked hard on all of those things. So we want to give thanks to Hashem, to God Almighty, for the incredible gift of this entire Bar Mitzvah experience. And obviously, the more that the Almighty gives us, and this was actually a key theme of what Tzviki said in his Bar Mitzvah speech, the more that Hashem, God, gives us, the more that we are indebted in gratitude to serve Him. That is a fundamental tenet put forth from the beginning of the Torah. That is the basis of our service. God took us out of Egypt. He could have left us there languishing. And right when we leave Egypt, what happens? He gives us the Torah. I'm going to rescue you. Therefore, you are obligated in levels of service. And that service is a privilege, but nevertheless, it is still an obligation. And the concept is that the more the Almighty showers upon us, the more that we owe Hashem. And this has really been the battle of the Jewish people against the forces of evil throughout history. Because ultimately, people don't want to be beholden. If everything comes from Hashem, all the bounty, all of our lungs that are working and brains that are functioning and all of the money that we get and all of the blessings we have in our life come from Hashem, then everyone knows then it's axiomatic. Then we would owe Hashem gratitude and thus service. However, if Hashem does not exist, God forbid, then hey, it's just a lucky break. And the fact that my heart is beating thousands of times daily and millions of times throughout a lifetime is just a lucky break. The fact that the brain that modern science can't even understand how it works, and it's not even close to understanding how it works, works perfectly for 80, 90, 100, up to 120 years. That's just an accident. Then I don't owe anyone any gratitude. And so this has been the battle of history. The Jewish people saying that our blessings come from the Almighty. They come from Hashem, and therefore we embrace the fact that Hashem showers us with gifts, with kindness and goodness, and therefore it's on us to respond in kind in terms of our devotion and service and fulfilling His will. So a pass by a non-kosher restaurant, that is a duty, a service, a privilege to say that, you know, I fundamentally don't understand why God said cows are kosher and shrimp are not kosher. But hey, the Almighty says jump, and we say how high. And that was the theme of Tzviki's Bar Mitzvah speech. And we certainly feel that here in the Garfinkel family and the larger Project 613 family, the amount of blessing that Hashem has showered upon us. It's pay up time. And God willing, we will go forward with greater ambition and greater dedication in our Jewish educational efforts. Okay, so that was really what I wanted to say about Tzviki's Bar Mitzvah. Obviously, as well, take a moment to thank my wife, Suri, who, a little bit of a personal podcast tonight, who has done an absolutely incredible job raising Tzviki amongst, obviously, our seven daughters as well. It really was a testament to her patience and vision that he has turned out so incredibly well, the young man of which we are incredibly proud. So it got me thinking. It got me thinking. You know, we're very blessed here in America to be able to celebrate bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, celebrate Shabbos, celebrate Yom Tov, the Jewish holidays. We can have Jewish schools. We can congregate as Jews. And even though things are getting a little more dicey, as they say, in terms of anti-Semitism, still at this point in 2025, after July 4th, the Jewish people still, by and large, have more freedoms in America than we have ever had in any country ever in the exile in the last 2,000 years. And it's not even a question. And the United States government even passed the school tax credit, which means that day schools starting not next year, but the year afterwards, God willing, we'll hope will either be much less expensive and possibly even free, depending on what happens. So there are many blessings for the Jewish people in America. But that was not always the case. And I wanted to share with you just a couple stories, some bar mitzvah stories, that I find incredibly heartwarming, but also make us appreciate who we are as a people and the incredible blessing that we have to serve Hashem in freedom. So the first story I found was about a young boy, well, now an old man, but a young boy at the time of the Holocaust named David or Dudi Bergman. And he describes in one of the transports from Auschwitz to Plaszow, and we on our Project 613 Poland trip visited both of those places, that his father risked literally his life, and he somehow smuggled onto the train a bottle of wine. Now, how he got this wine, we don't know. But he turned to his son and he said, Mazel Tov, I don't know if you even know, but today is your 13th birthday, and we are going to share a l'chaim with everyone on this cattle car. And he somehow figured out how to pour everyone just a little bit so there was enough for everyone. And they made a l'chaim on this Dudi Bergman's 13th birthday on a cattle car going from Auschwitz to Plaszow. Now, I just imagine, can you imagine this scenario? The lack of odds, incredible odds of which totally unlikely that these people would survive. And yet, the faith of a Jewish father to say that at that moment, we are not going to give up. We are not going to relinquish that which kept us Jewish for so many thousands of years. And maybe even not despite, but because of that situation, he doubled down to risk his life, to find some wine, to be able to make a l'chaim with his son and his fellow compatriots, fellow Jews, on this cattle car to Plaszow. So I found that incredibly inspiring, the positivity of a Jew, the hope of a Jew, and that's fully rooted in the fact that we know that Hashem Almighty, the CEO of the universe, is in charge and has watched over us for a thousand years. And even in the darkest times, the last couple of years of what the Jewish people have gone through, we know and we see, we not only hope for a good future, we are confident in it. And that L'chaim Bar Mitzvah definitely symbolizes that. I want to share with you a story about another bar mitzvah that is from this past war and that still is continuing, sadly, in Gaza. It's from a book called Miracles, Missiles, and Mesiras Nefesh. So miracles, you understand. Missiles, you understand. Mesiras Nefesh is a Jewish term, a Hebrew term for self-sacrifice. And it's a book about incredible, miraculous moments and the dedication, the self-sacrifice of Jews. Now, sadly, over 800 Israeli soldiers have been killed in this conflict since October 7th, fighting to save their fellow brethren. It's truly remarkable. So I want to share with this story. The book was compiled by Rabbi Nachman Saltz, who's a very popular author. And the story is pretty, pretty amazing. Okay, so it's on page 75, and it It's in the beginning of chapter 5, and it's called Amir's Bar Mitzvah. Okay, so this story is about really Major Shmuley Bodenheim. And he and his wife Rivka, a beautiful family, and Major Bodenheim is in the IDF, and he plays a very important role. So on October 7th, they were celebrating Yom Tov, just like everyone else, Simchas Torah. And he heard that there was a war that had broken out, and he got a call from on his army phone. He was waiting to be deployed. And again, that 6-7 hour of why they weren't deployed on that day is not for this podcast. But nevertheless, he didn't get a call back until afterwards of where he should go. And he is in charge of a team, obviously a religious man, and his wife as well. And they have a beautiful family, and Shmuley has a very unique job. He is with the medical division of the IDF, and he commands a unit of soldiers who are the triage. They're the welcoming committee for any soldier that is wounded and needs to be evacuated from the field of battle. And so he and his team are spread out mostly in Soroka Hospital, which actually was hit by an Iranian missile, believe it or not. This is before then, which is in Beersheba, which is closest to Gaza. So therefore, they got some of the most serious injuries. And their job is to greet the soldier if they are conscious, to call the parents right away, to get the phone that many times the parents, if they don't get a phone call, they'll have an army person knock on their door, which is incredibly traumatic because usually that means that their son has died, has been killed, and they want to be able to tell them that they're actually still alive and they're going into surgery. And they take care of everything in the hospital. They're literally like a personal service medical unit for Israeli soldiers who are injured and help them during the... They don't do the surgery, but part of the process from welcoming to the hospital to their stay and eventually to their release, Shmuley is in charge of this. So one day, sadly, there was a badly wounded soldier who was brought in. The tank was hit by an RPG, rocket-propelled grenade, and this is really a terrible. This has happened a lot. The tanks many times are sitting ducks. And the soldier comes in with tremendous burns, and he was brought into emergency surgery, and he survived the surgery, and basically he survived. They took him off the machines, and then his organs started failing, and they put him back on life support. He woke up from life support. And after a week, but he came out in such a depression that he tried pulling the tubes out of his body. He saw the state that he was in. He couldn't bear to see himself in that way. And then the doctors at that point decided to put him back into a coma, a medical induced coma, in order for his body to heal so that he would not come out and pull it. Now, this soldier named Amir Dolman really owes a tremendous amount to his unofficial bride at the time, who took care of his every need. She never gave up on him. And it's absolutely incredible that Amir and his girlfriend / unofficial fiance were not religious at all. But something sparked in her. She never gave up on him. And then she started giving out candles on Friday to the women in the hospital to light as a merit for Amir to recover. So she is totally dedicated to him and taking care of his every need, even when he's in a coma. And 2.5 months after the doctors put him back in a coma, they woke him up again. But this time, something changed. He was not depressed. Without explanation, he woke up, and this boy who had nothing to do with religion his entire life, he woke up and he said, "I want to put on tefillin." And not only did he want to put on tefillin, he said his smile came back. He was no longer depressed. His health improved. His lungs began working again. And then Amir asked for a yarmulke, and then for tzitzis. And then he went to the rehab facility. He was able a few weeks later to move out of the hospital. He was a totally changed man. Now the story does not say what happened in his coma that changed him around, that turned him around. But then a month into his stay at the rehab, this Shmuley, who was the head of this unit, got a call from Amir, who called to invite him to attend a special event. He said, "I'm calling because I want you there with me on my big day." And Reb Shmuley said, "What's the occasion?" And Amir replied, "I'm celebrating my bar mitzvah." This 19-year-old man, who literally was on the brink of death several times, who survived and had a miraculous turnaround physically and emotionally during this coma, came out a new man, and he wanted the bar mitzvah that he never, ever had. The rehab facility was packed. The room where they had it was packed with people. There were even Asian tourists who were coming to volunteer, and the room was packed. The joy was palpable as Amir had his bar mitzvah at 19 years old. And this is such an inspiring story, because we see again, just like Dudi Bergman's father in the cattle car, and just like Amir as well, the hope of a better future, the hope of being a fulfilling our potential as Jews under any circumstances. And what should we take from this? We who can do it all, we have no one stopping us. The only thing stopping us is our own lack of information, is our own lack of motivation. There's no cattle cars. We're not in any wars right now. It's up to us. Let's take the motivation of these great men for us to kick it up, for us to appreciate the greatness of what Hashem does for us, and to kick it up a notch in our service, in our gratitude. And God willing, all of these bar mitzvah stories, from my own son Sviki's to these, will inspire us to be truly great Jews. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we'll see you again right back here next week, God willing, for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.